Joining us again this morning, always a delight to have Dr. Robert Hockett with us. He is professor of law at Cornell University. Good morning, Dr. Hockett.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, the big news, the big talk this week is the financial reform bill up on Capitol Hill. We're getting ready to get this thing done, I guess. And as Julie mentioned this morning, the death of Senator Byrd may throw a little kink into this process.
It's possible that it will. It really depends on, you know, how inclined the Republicans are to filibuster this one, right? But they thought that they had, my understanding, of course, is that the sponsors of the bill and the administration both were confident that they had precisely those votes that they needed, right, that they had at least 60. And indeed, a lot of the sort of dickering last week was designed precisely in order to ensure that they had those 60. Senator Byrd, of course, would have been one of them. So you can imagine this, of course, throwing a bit of a wrench in the works. On the other hand, my tendency is to think that they probably ensured that they had a margin, right, more than that they had basically more than 60 or a little bit more than 60, so that they'll still be able to pass it.
They were calling this the biggest reform since the 1930s, and it is reactionary as a result of the big meltdown that we had. In the stuff that you've looked over, what do you think they missed so far?
I don't really, it's not really clear to me that they've missed anything in the legislation itself. I'm nevertheless inclined to say that the legislation has to be supplemented by something else. So how do I explain that? Well, basically, the basic point is this. The one thing that the legislation doesn't have that's important to be done is something that's pretty difficult to legislate anyway, and that is to have a Federal Reserve Board that takes very seriously its role as a countercyclical regulator, by which I mean it has to take very seriously its role as a tightener of the money supply, a tightener of credit conditions when a bubble is building up, and then, of course, a loosener of credit conditions, an increaser of the money supply after a slump, right, after some sort of a market turnaround that can issue into a slump. I fear that the Fed did not take that countercyclical regulation role as seriously as it might have done during the 90s and maybe the first 5 years of the new millennium. But again, that's something that's fairly difficult to legislate, right? That's the kind of thing that decisions of that sort are sort of sensibly left to the discretion of the Federal Reserve. But if you don't have a really good chairman of that Federal Reserve Board, the role isn't going to be taken as seriously as it might. All of that being said, then, it seems to me the legislation does do quite well what legislation as legislation can be expected to do. It covers, it seems to me, all of the bases, and it seems to me to sort of draw a nice, sensible balance between, on the one hand, addressing carefully precisely those sort of pitfalls in our previous system that had to be addressed, but on the other hand, not going too far in so doing, right? Not becoming draconian to the point of really spooking the markets.
You had mentioned the Fed, and there had been some talk about more oversight of the Fed, but it has been decided to kind of keep hands off the Fed for now. And what you were talking about, it seems like in some cases they did the opposite of what might have been done.
Yeah. I think, well, there was a tendency, right? There's what often happens in the wake of financial difficulties or financial crises in particular is a lot of scapegoating, right? So people sort of look to say, okay, there's got to be some institution that basically the paranoids say that there has to be some sort of institution that's sort of megalomaniacally powerful and that it's operating in the dark, right? I can't tell you how common it is, right, for people to sort of say that, well, financial dealings are proceeding in the dark, right? So we've got to shine a light on those dealings. And for whatever reason, you know, the Fed tended to be targeted for a brief bit there during the negotiations leading up to this legislation. I thought that was misguided all along. It seemed to me that the real problem wasn't that the Fed had too much power. It was rather that the Fed wasn't making the correct use of the power that it sensibly had. What we've done now is, in a certain sense, enshrined in legislation the observation or the recognition that the Fed ought to be using the power that it sensibly has to do certain things that the Greenspan years didn't see done. In particular, the creation of this new systemic risk council that will, of course, include the Fed, but also the Treasury and other regulators, I think is a particularly salutary gesture, right? The idea that we're now formally recognizing that the financial system as a whole is fully integrated, that the distinctions between commercial banks and investment banks and hedge funds and so on are for some purposes arbitrary, right, are for some purposes superficial distinctions, basically because they all interconnect such that the failure of one very large such institution can bring down other institutions of other types, right, other nominally distinct types. So the fact that we're now recognizing that the Fed is, in effect, a kind of systemic risk regulator and that it has to be assisted in that role by other financial regulators who have authority with respect to areas that the Fed itself hasn't had authority with respect to before, I think is a very good thing.
Dr. Huckett, I get the feeling that you weren't thrilled with some of the later Greenspan years at the helm of the Fed. What are your thoughts about the team that's in place now? With Ben Bernanke as the chairman, the Treasury Secretary Geithner, do you think these guys know what they're doing?
I do think they know what they're doing, and I do think that, I don't want to pile on to Greenspan. He had a difficult job, but I just don't think he pulled it off as well as he might have done.
I agree with you.
I do think that Bernanke is much more apt to do well for a couple of reasons, right? For one thing, Bernanke doesn't seem to be an ideologue, right? He doesn't
right.
seem to be sort of taken with a kind of a preconceived idea, but rather seems to be very pragmatic in his orientation. He's also empirically and historically very well informed about the function of a central bank and about how depressions, recessions work, right? Of course, everybody knows that he sort of made his academic reputation as not simply a theorist, but as a very sensitive sort of empirically minded historian.
Student of the Depression, yeah.
Of the Depression itself and yeah. of the monetary policy pursued by the Fed and by other central banks, notably the Bank of England, during that period. So I tend to think he's not apt to repeat some of the mistakes that Greenspan seems to me to have made, probably on the basis of a tendency to have been much more ideologically oriented than pragmatically.
Right.
Dr. Huckett, as usual, we get to about one-third of the things I'd like to hear from you about as you're on our show this morning, and we always appreciate your taking time to join us.
Oh, thanks so much. A great pleasure for me.
Dr. Robert Huckett, professor of law at Cornell University.